Next, for the scripture reading this morning, we'll turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, first book of Chronicles, chapter 17, and read the whole chapter together. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldst be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house, that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt? For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established, that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel, and let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you about what you find in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 16. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 16. And David, the king, came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? We write above the sermon, David's thanksgiving. And let the prayer come and live in our heart, that we personally may have such a thanksgiving as David had. For the same God is still working, and the same Spirit is poured out and works in the hearts of sinners through thankfulness, an unforgettable thanksgiving, David's thanksgiving. And we see him in humiliation. Who am I, O Lord God? He cannot understand. He cannot comprehend the goodness of the Lord for such a bad sinner as he is. And the real experience of that, the true humiliation, that's always what we need, to have a true Thanksgiving Day. We see David in humiliation. We see him in astonishment. He cannot understand that thou hast brought me hitherto. He has a living sight on all the blessings and the wonders the Lord did in his life. Nothing is normal. It's all a wonder. And then we have really a thanksgiving when we see the wonders in the small things and the goodness of the Lord and his greatness in what people normally think, well, that's normal that I have that. To see the blessings, really, that thou hast brought me hitherto. And we see him in the third place in adoration. And that's expressed in the first part of the verse. And David, the king, came and sat before the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's still more rich than in the translation. For it means he stayed before the Lord. And it can be translated, he dwelt in the presence of the Lord. There he stayed. There he wanted to stay. There in the house of God, in the nearness of God, there was his delight. He was in adoration, worshipping the Lord, full of him. And then we have really thanksgiving when we become full of him. And the desire is coming in our heart and growing to be there where the Lord is glorified into all eternity. Well, my dear children, for you another time, David's thanksgiving. And we see him in humiliation, in astonishment, and in adoration. Dear congregation, is it possible to keep Thanksgiving Day when your prayer is not heard, when your wishes are not fulfilled? Is that possible? To thank the Lord for that which he did not give. To thank the Lord for a lot of troubles, misery, sorrow. When you prayed that things should not happen, and they happened. That you prayed that things should happen, and they didn't happen. That everything went the wrong way. I think it is possible. When we are united with the ways of the Lord, when we see that like heavens are higher than the earth, the ways of the Lord are higher than our ways. When we see by faith that what the Lord is doing, it's perfect. It's all focused and directed on his goal. And his goal is his perfect glory. And when that goal is living in reality in our heart, we can come by grace on the point that we can thank the Lord for that which he did not give. We see this so very clear in the history of David. He had a wish, a very strong desire, and it was a nice desire. I wish we all had it. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. And he was busy since many years to assemble everything he needed for a big and nice house, a temple where the Lord could dwell. That was his wish. That was with the love of his heart. That's very attractive, isn't it? That's one of the greatest goals of his life. And when the prophet Nathan, his friend, one of his best friends, a true servant of the living God, united with him in the love of God, in the same desire, and when he spoke about these things with his best friend Nathan, God's servant said, well, that's very, very nice that you do that. Do it. It's all your might and all your heart. But also servants of the Lord can make mistakes and see things wrong. And then the Lord brings them on the right way. And the Lord showed Nathan, it's not the will of the Lord that David built the house of God. It's his will. It's his loving desire. It's your will. But it is not my will. And what happens then? Is David angry? Is he disappointed? My whole life I was wishing and working for building a house for the Lord. And now the Lord says, no, you not, but your son, Solomon. And then it becomes very clear. For we can be very diligent in religious things. But what is hidden in the deepest of our heart? Are we serving and seeking ourselves? Our own glory? We pray for the building of the house of God, that the church may grow, that there come more to hear the gospel here too. That's good. That longing. But what do we seek with it? Are we satisfied when there is here a full church? There's a lot of people. Or do we really seek the glory of God? That makes the great difference. In all our labors, are we successful? Can we see fruit? And when we see fruit, are we becoming proud? That's the danger. And we have to search ourselves till in the deepest of our heart, what's the root of our religious being and working? Are we really seeking the glory of God? Are we not important? And here we see in this portion of the word how pure it was. That it was really the grace of God working in his heart. In the heart of David, the man of God. That he was really seeking the glory of God. For instead that he was disappointed. And began to murmur and to say, oh Lord, all my life I'm gathering goods for thy house. And all my life I was praying that I could do that for thee. And now, no. We see the opposite. We see the fruit of the Spirit. David, when he hears the message of the Lord, comes in a wonderful Thanksgiving day. And he is really humiliated. It's not so important who builds the house of the Lord. Important is that the house of the Lord is built. Not I am important. The Lord is important. His glory, his will must be done. And that's the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. But thy name must have thanks and glory. How is that now? In our heart and life. My dear congregation, is the honor of the Lord your delight? Is the glory of God really your goal? The Lord Jesus said, it is my eat, my food and my drink, to do the will of my heavenly Father. And when the Lord Jesus is living by faith in our heart, we see the same in our life. By nature, we are seekers of ourselves, also in our religious life, also when we are office bearers, also when we are ministers. We are always seeking our own glory. And that's always the fight inwardly in our soul. But what a grace when grace has the victory. When we lose ourselves and then only the will and the glory of God is the main thing in our life. Not unto us. And David, the blessings of the Lord humiliate him so very much. And that's what we see in our first thought. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house? Who am I?" That's very important, isn't it? That you see yourself. By nature, we are so in darkness and we are so proud, we never see ourselves. We are too high. That's what we need. And that is always happening when the Lord is bringing us on the right place for the first time and again and again. Who am I? He is so broken. He is so humiliated. Yeah, who am I? He was not a king by birth. He was not a prince at all, my dear children. He was a shepherd. Very simple young man. And then the Lord called him. He was not a tall and big man. For Samuel, he thought when he saw the brothers of David, well, that must be the king. No, says the Lord, you are looking only to what is seeing outwardly. But I look to the inward side. The inward side on Thanksgiving Day 2008. How is the inward side, my dear children, my young people? Of your heart. How is the inward side? What are you now feeling for the Lord? What place has Christ now in your soul? Do you really see how you are? Who you are? Who am I? Who am I by nature? A fallen creature. And how was my life between prayer day and Thanksgiving day? How are my thoughts? How are my desires? How are my deeds? Who am I? Did you ever see who you are? How you are? That's so needed. The devil shall never show you that. But the Lord, when he is working by his Holy Spirit, shall us show who we are, and anew, and again, and again, and more. And David, he has such a wonderful thanksgiving, for he is full of the impression, who am I? Who am I? He means also, who was I and who am I now? There's of course a great difference. How it was and how it is. His roots was so simple. And now the Lord gave him such a high place. King of Israel. Is that the greatest blessing? When you could become President of the United States? That's not the greatest blessing. Who am I? David could see back, look back. Saving grace. Forgiving love. By nature, a child of wrath. And that he felt so deep again when he made Psalm 51. Then he felt how he was. And now he comes in the wonder. Who am I? A man saved by grace. A man knowing Christ as my Savior. A man brought from darkness into light. From death into life. That's the greatest wonder, isn't it? When you have a fresh and living impression and feeling of the grace of God as a sweet reality in your heart. For saving grace always humiliates us, brings us at the lowest place. We can never understand it. We can never comprehend it. Who am I? Such a sinner. What did I in my life? An adulterer. A murderer. A man who so often sinned against the Lord in a terrible way. Who am I? The chief of all sinners. And yet, in the loving presence of God, and yet by grace, cleansed in the blood, saved by His wonderful love. That's thanksgiving. Who am I? And yet the feeling of the love of God. For that's the most wonderful thing we can receive. So David is humiliated by that wonderful grace. Who am I? Such a sinner as I am. And what is my house? My family? What is it? Not well, isn't it? Incest in his family. More than one wife. One of the inmates, he had a struggle too. He has two girlfriends. He told me last week he sent one away now. But he had a question. I sometimes see in the Bible that men are blessed, though they have more than one wife. It was a difficult question. David, who am I? So many wives. And my house. His family was terrible. Incest, more than one wife. Brothers killing one another. It's more than terrible. And I told him, never can that be blessed, my friend. But all the sins of the Lord's people need the blood, need forgiveness. But never, never can anything bless which is against the holy law of God. And he told me last week he sent her away. And he has still one. I hope it is a little bit of fruit of the teaching. What is my house? How is our house? Our family life? My dear children, do you fear really the Lord? Can your parents say from you, my children, are seeking the Lord. My young people, where do you have your delight? How is the feeling of your parents about you? Can they be happy? Can they be glad? The Apostle John says, I'm glad when I see that my children are walking in the truth. Who am I? And what is my house? But then David must confess, it's more than terrible. It's not understandable. I cannot comprehend thy goodness. I'm quite filled with the feeling, O Lord, how is it possible that thou art so good for such a bad man with such a bad family? It's quite not understandable. Who am I? Well, I think that's the right feeling and the true thanksgiving. May you not only by your words, but with your whole heart and life feels, I am not worthy, not worthy. All the blessings the Lord bestowed on me, when we look back, what did the Lord give you? And that's our second thought. That David, he sees the blessings. He is full of it. That thou hast brought me hitherto. That thou hast brought me everything he received. That's very clear for him and real. He received it from the Lord himself. He sees the giving, blessing hand of the Lord as a reality. That's to his glory. We so often look to ourselves, we work, we study. We are looking to other people. We need them. But we need to look higher. All we received it out of his hand. Thou art the giver, the fountain of all good. Our confession says an overflowing fountain of all blessings. David is seeing the Lord in his fullness, in his goodness. And he has such a delight in him. Thou. Do you feel it with him? Do we see it? He sees the Lord. Blessed are the pure of heart. They shall see God. And he see the greatest blessing. Grace, saving grace, forgiving love as a sweet, wonderful reality. And he enjoys now the feeling of the grace of God. He has now a delight and a sureness in his God. He knew the difference, of course, that there were times of great darkness in his soul too. That there were times that he was so far away from the Lord. And that he never thought that he should go far, so far away. That he could fall in such a deepness. That times he knew. But now on his thanksgiving, he is full of the presence of the Lord. He has such a wonderful, deep impression of his blessings. That thou hast brought me hitherto. What a blessing. And the greatest blessing is God himself. Thou. And when you miss him, you miss everything. You have no thankfulness too. You have no thanksgiving at all. How is that possible without the Lord? Without His grace? Thou. Therefore, when you must say, I don't know the Lord really. Oh, that there comes such a sorrow in your heart now. Such a desire. So that he may become happy. Real happy, like David. He has such a clear side. Thou, me. Gave me thy grace. Saving grace, eternal life. For that's to be found in the Lord. That he is giving by grace. There's a fullness of it. And out of his fullness, we receive grace for grace. And then you see that I received grace. I'm by the grace of God really a child of God. I'm in his loving nearness. Well, what a wonderful feeling. What a wonderful thankfulness. Who am I that thou, O Lord, brought me hitherto, that thou brought me in thy loving nearness? He sees the blessings that the arch, the house of God, in a tent still, but the holy and the holiest of holy and the service of reconciliation, where the Lord is speaking, where the Lord is blessing, where the Lord is giving, that's among them. New Testamentical. The Holy Gospel. Is that not a blessing? When we look back, who am I? That I may live there, where the blood of Christ is sprinkled, where the free offer of the gospel is preached, where Christ is preached and lifted up in all his fullness. Who am I? Is that a wonder for you to be here? That the Lord gave us also that the Lord gave you a servant, a preacher of atonement by the blood only, a preacher of the gospel, that the Lord gave me, you, as a flock, to bring the gospel to you, that we between prayer day and thanksgiving were brought together, and that the Lord is still working and continuing with his love. Who am I? Who am I that I can stand here? And that I am enabled to bring the gospel to you. And who are you? Say it now. Who am I? That thou give me a place, O Lord, in thy house. That I am called to be every Sunday and in the week. And that the blood of Christ is preached to me in all his saving power. Who am I? Did you ever feel that you are not worthy a place in the house of God? Did you ever feel that? Oh Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here. I'm not worthy to sit there. I'm not worthy to hear thy gospel. Who am I? Am I better than the crowds here? Who don't hear about the Lord at all? Am I better than the crowds who are deceived by a false teaching and doctrine? I am not better at all. Who am I? Oh, what a blessing. The preaching of the gospel is still among us. David, he sees it. The servants of God. The servants of God. also warning him when he is sinning, thou art that man, that sinful man, that was Nathan, his best friend, that was the servant of God, but it was a sign that the Lord was still among them. That's the most wonderful thing, congregation, when we see the signs of the presence of the Lord, when the Spirit is working in the hearts, when we feel the power in preaching the gospel, when we are blessed by His presence. That's the desire of every heart to feel Him. But we don't deserve that. We cannot comprehend that. Who am I, O Lord, that Thou art working and speaking here in Grand Rapids too? That's thanksgiving. The Lord thanking and admiring for His wonderful blessing in sending us the gospel, in coming to us by His servants. That's such a wonderful blessing. And we may look forward that a word is blessed powerfully, savingly, in the heart of us and our children, in the hearts of our young people. Oh, that this word may live the whole year. Who am I? That it may be personal experience in the hearts of each of us. That I received grace and that I live there where God is working by His Spirit in the hearts of sinners. He sees blessings, so many blessings, also temporal blessings. For he was a rich man. He was a blessed man. He gathered a lot. He was blessed in his labors. There came a time that the Lord gave him rest, that he conquered all his enemies. In the power of the Lord, he had a victory, and he had a palace, and he had honor. And that was not the most important thing, of course. The most important thing was that he had the Lord. But yet his eye was opened also for all the other temporal blessings. Thou hast brought me hitherto. Temporal blessings, we cannot miss them. And there comes maybe a time which shall be more difficult than ever in history of the United States and the history of the world. For that we have plenty of everything. Well, that's so normal for us that there are billions of people who has no food, millions who has to flee for the danger of war, hunger, famine, disasters. Oh, not here. Not in Europe. Not in the United States. Tsunamis. Only in Africa. Only in Asia. Do you think that? Cannot it come here? It can. The Lord blessed us also in temporal things wonderfully. But what did we with His blessings? What did we as a nation? And what do we with all the abundance the Lord gives us? Also in our temporal life. Where is the thankfulness? When things are going a little bit less, we are often complaining. And we are full of care. For we want to have profit, more profit. Never enough. More pleasure. More money. Well, that's the spirit of the age. And now the Lord is cutting it off. And taking it away. A great crisis. And what shall happen? Nothing. The Lord shall care for you. Also for your food and for your clothes. and for your home, for everything, when you are His child, when you are living in His presence, when you are living out of His love, when you know the same feeling as David, who am I? When you see that all the temporal blessings are also from Him and also for Him, to His glory. We receive it out of His hand. And when He wants, He can chasten us. He can things take away, so that we have not a lot, but very few, very little. That we must be very careful in spending our money. And a lot of people has to be. Are we better than the homeless? Are we better than the criminals? It's a pleasure and a blessing for me that the Lord opens way to work among them. And I hope to be a benefit for them too, for their souls. That's a wonderful blessing. But when I'm working with them, I feel more than once, I'm not better. I'm the same. It's only grace. Who am I? Who am I? That thou broughtest me hitherto. Seeing blessings. The grace of God. Work in my heart. It's only grace. Who am I? And then all the temporal blessings. We have a lot. We have nice houses. We have warm houses. We have clothes. We have everything we need. But the goodness of the Lord. He gives us health. He gives us strength. Every day is full of His blessings. But what we need is to see it really. And to come to the goal. For that's what we are seeing here. For when we see it in the light of what we deserve, congregation. That's true thankfulness. What do I deserve? And what is the Lord giving me? That we are overwhelmed by the goodness of the Lord. That we cannot understand such a goodness for such a wretched sinner. That's true thankfulness. And that's what David is exercising, practicing here by the grace of God. And that's what we need too. A true thankfulness. When we see on our sins and our personal sins, how is our life? How is our hidden life? How is our praying life? How is our church life? How we are? Who am I? And the more we see that, our shortcomings, our sins, well, the less we can understand the goodness of the Lord for such a wretched man. Then the Lord should do according our sins as a church, as families, as a nation. What should and had happened? It's not understandable. The greatness of the goodness of the Lord for such a man, for such a family, for such a congregation, for such a church, for such a nation. O Lord, when thou shalt do according our sins, we have nothing than thy anger. Did you ever feel that? We know it by head, but to know it really by heart, that's the matter. And David, he knows it by heart. Who am I that thou broughtest me hitherto? That thou overwhelmed me with thy goodness, thy mercy, all the blessings for time and eternity. For David, he was a blessed man, really. He was a happy man. Do you feel that? Then you have a blessed thanksgiving. When you come by grace, in the same feeling, and your heart is filled with the wonder who I am, and yet a blessed man, sought by his love, feeling that saving grace, to be in his presence, in the desire of the heart to glorify him, to make him great. And that's our third thought. David's Thanksgiving Day, in humiliation, in astonishment, I cannot understand, O Lord, thy goodness, in seeing all the blessings. And then the fruit is, of course, to glorify God for such a wonderful blessings. And so he comes in adoration. For I mentioned already, we read here, and David the king came and sat before the Lord. But in the Hebrew, it means he stayed in the presence of the Lord. He sat for the Lord. That means he was very, very close to him. He had a very wonderful, tender feeling of his loving presence. And therefore, he wanted to stay there. He wanted to live there. Did you have that too? Look back. Did you have moments that you felt here in his house, so much of his loving presence that you could wish to stay here? There can be moments in our life that it's very difficult to go away. Maybe I told you sometimes from that man in one of our congregations who was sitting at the Lord's table. And he became so much filled with the presence and the love of God in Christ that he saw nobody, Jesus only. And the love of Christ filled his heart. And he was not aware that the minister closed the table. And he was sitting there alone. He was not aware that the people had gone to their place. And he was staying at the table. And one of the elders came to him and touched him and said, "It's gone. You must go to your place." And then he stood up and went to his place and went out of the house of God into the wilderness, the desert of this life. But he had felt something of heaven. And David has here something of heaven. He is in adoration. He is worshipping the Lord. He is full of him. And such an adoration, that's a foretaste of eternal life. That are the most happy moments in human life. When you come to adoration. That's a work of heaven. In heaven, all the people of God shall be into all eternity full of the loving presence of God. Thanksgiving, filled with the Lord himself, seeing who you are yourself, seeing the blessings out of his hand, and then be filled with only one desire, And there are moments in the life of the true people of God that that feeling and desire fills their whole being. And that there is no place for something or anything others. That there is such a fullness which cannot be expressed, which only can be experienced. That David said before the Lord, in his loving presence, adoring him and worshipping him, with his whole being, his whole love, his whole heart. And so a sinner comes to his goal. For that's the goal of our life. To glorify God. To adore our Creator. Our Savior. For that's what he is saying. O Lord God. The names of God become here sweet reality in his soul. O Lord, he is my faithful covenant God, my loving everlasting Father in Christ. O Lord, God, my owner, my creator, he who has right on my whole heart and my whole love. Lord God, the names of God express how God really is. Who am I? That's what he's saying at the one side, at the one hand. Who is the Lord that he is enjoying? A little bit still, but in reality, enjoying who is the Lord. That belongs together. Who am I? And who is the Lord? He is worthy to be admired, to be glorified. And our greatest happiness is really to be filled with him and to have a foretaste of eternal joy. That's what David, by the grace of God, here is experiencing. Adonai, Lord, Creator, Owner, all what I have is from thee. All what I got, I thank at thee. O Lord, thou art worthy. My whole heart, my whole glory, my whole life.
That's the greatest blessing, isn't it? When we know by experience something of this true thankfulness. When the knowledge of ourselves and the insights in the blessings of the Lord bring us to our goal, admiring and adorating our Savior, our great Savior, for all the blessings the sinner can receive flow from the cross, flow from the sides of a blooding Savior. For all the mercies of God, in all their fullness, are to be found in Christ only. And they are offered to you in the preaching of the Holy Gospel. With my poor words, I try to express something of what is to be found in God, out of the fullness of Christ, for a poor, needy sinner. And then you must say, O Lord, I have nothing of all these things. I don't know myself really. Well, with my understanding I see that all what I have is from thee, but a real impression is not there. And the fullness of desire to glorify thee, it's not there. What an emptiness. What a darkness. How endless terrible to be unthankful, ungrateful, not to glorify the giver of all good things. I hope then, my dear friends, that you something feel and saw of the true happiness of the true people of God. And that it brings you to him who is willing and mighty to give it you out of his fullness. Because he married that. His marriage, his fullness, are offered in the gospel. For Christ, he was perfect, thankful. And when Christ is living in our soul, he is living here in the soul of his servant David, the man after God's heart. And then Christ fills our heart. Then we know these wonderful things. And when Christ grows in our heart, the wonder grows. And the precious moments, they are again and again there. When we wish to be with him. When we wish to be like him. When we wish to be there. Where our gratefulness is perfect. And our adoration never shall end. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit shall be glorified into all eternity. Oh, that no one of us shall then be missed by unbelief. Amen. Let us thank and pray together. O Lord, how great is thy goodness that we were unable to say something, very little, of that what cannot be understood, only be experienced. That true humiliation, to be nothing, nothing in ourselves, to have nothing, not worthy, the least of thy mercies. And then a clear view on all thy mercies, mercies for eternity, mercies for our soul, mercies for our body, for our temporal life, for our whole being. For thou art such a loving and caring Father for all thy children, knowing all their needs and all their troubles. O Lord, give us grace to trust thee fully, to be and live and stay in thy presence, to adore thee, to worship thee, with our whole life, with our whole being. O Lord, we thank thee for this wonderful message, thy holy word, and we pray, bless it to the soul of each of us, so that it may become, for the first time, or more and more, sweet reality by the working of thy Spirit. O Lord, bring us together tonight in faithfulness, in hunger to thee, and the preaching of thy gospel, and be in our midst. Pardon our sins, keep us away from all evil, and hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.